The word of God, which we'll consider today, is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. There we read verses 10 through 13. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick." When we're feeling healthy, we generally don't think a lot about making an appointment to visit our doctor. It's when we become seriously ill or have been injured that we want to be seen by our doctor as soon as possible. I don't always feel an urgent need to visit my doctor when it's time for my semi-annual checkup. In fact, I'd prefer not to do it if I could, partly because he tends to scold me when certain tests results show I'm not 21 anymore, and that I have to be more careful about my diet and exercise and so forth. On the other hand, when my appendix threatened to burst one time a few years back, then the doctor and the surgeon became my best friends. At the moment, I didn't want to be anywhere else but with them in the emergency room and in the operating room. Maybe each one of us has or will experience that kind of an episode at some point in life. In our text, a man named Matthew expresses that he felt that way, not so much about his physical well-being, but about his spiritual health. For here he's telling the story of his conversion, speaking about what happened after he met Jesus, the great physician of body and soul, and came to believe in him and was saved from his sin and given eternal life. Matthew was a tax collector in a busy office in the city of Capernaum. He made a nice living, but at the expense of his own reputation. Tax collectors were often despised because they were known to siphon off for themselves a portion of what the people paid in taxes, and because they were working for the hated Romans who occupied their land. It's unusual these days for a medical doctor to make house calls, and it's almost unheard of for a doctor to go door to door and inquire if anyone is in need of medical attention. But Jesus is the great physician who goes looking for the sick. He went to Matthew's tax office and he told him in words that come right before our text, "Follow me." And Matthew did that. He followed. In this, we see the power of God's word, that same divine energy which opened blind eyes and which hurled demons howling out of the possessed and who lifted paralyzed people to their feet, here lifted Matthew to his feet to follow. This is what St. Paul described when he also by inspiration referred to the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. It's the good news of Jesus and his saving work. It not only informs, the gospel transforms. It's not only communication, it's transportation. And so when Jesus said to Matthew, "Follow me," again, it says he arose and followed him. Our text shows us that Jesus is the physician of body and soul who not only looks for sick ones, but he stays with them. When Jesus' opponents, the Pharisees, discovered him in the company of Matthew and his associates having a meal with them, they were offended. And they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" They looked at Jesus doing this as further proof that he had to be an imposter. By their way of thinking, the promised Messiah would never stoop to such a low level. But how did Jesus answer this harsh judgment they spoke over him? Again, with these words, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Just as it is the duty of a preacher to preach and a teacher to teach, a farmer to plant and a carpenter to build, so it is the responsibility of a physician to heal. In being there in the home of Matthew, surrounded by some notorious members of the community, Jesus was really carrying out his purpose as the God-appointed Savior, the perfect physician of bodies and souls. Sometimes medical doctors have to speak in blunt and even frightening language in order to persuade a reluctant patient that they really have a serious illness. That one who doesn't feel or believe he's very sick likely won't go through the pain and the expense, the trouble of undergoing an operation. The Pharisees who judged Jesus didn't believe that he was the healer of sin-broken souls or that he would need to cure them of anything. So on another occasion, Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. He said, "You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones and everything unclean." Though the outward conduct and morality of the Pharisees was quite respectable, they too were sick and they were dying in sin, but they refused to see it. So Jesus directed them to think about their behavior toward the people they tended to look down upon. Quoting the Old Testament prophet Hosea, Jesus reminded them that God accepts the humility, the contrition of a self-confessed sinner over the attitude of a self-righteous person. He said, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The word of Jesus Christ is intended for all of us to hear also. We shouldn't look at this incident described in our text today as detached bystanders. We shouldn't place ourselves on a pedestal overlooking Matthew and his tax collector friends, overlooking the smug Pharisees who wanted to judge them and Jesus for being with them. We ourselves are the sinful ones who are spiritually sick and dying and in desperate need of our great physician. Held under the penetrating light of God's just law, our illness is exposed and diagnosed. As St. John said, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." He said, "If we claim we've not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." The symptoms of our soul sickness are revealed each day in our selfish attitudes, our judgmental thoughts of others, our sinful, hurtful words, our behavior in what we do and what we fail to do. But apart from the glaring mirror of God's law, we would continue on in life thinking that everything is basically okay between us and God, assuming we're perfectly healthy when in fact we're dying. On one occasion, my doctor canceled a scheduled appointment that he had with me, and when it got rescheduled and I made my visit, the doctor apologized. He said, "A sick patient sneezed all over me. And as soon as it happened, I knew I was sick and I had to stay home for 2 weeks. Jesus Christ is the great physician who goes looking for us, who finds us, who stays with us. And in fact, he took upon himself our illness of sin and was crucified to remove it and to make us whole. Holy Scripture says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And St. Peter wrote, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Christ is the doctor who lovingly, purposely got infected with our disease, and by his death and his rising again, he's taken away its dreadful power and its painful sting. So the apostle writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Trusting our great physician, we have healing. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen.